Amen. Thank you for those wonderful songs, Sawyer. Thank you for playing today by way of our songs. Tonight, I'd like to look at just a simple thought in the book of Numbers, chapter number 21. Numbers, chapter number 21. Brother Brian, this morning, he preached on the Word of God and went over our Awana verses over the past several years and made a statement this morning about believing and trusting in the Word of God during difficult times. And the Lord put that thought in my mind this afternoon about doubt. And we see doubt in our Bible comes to Eve through a serpent. And I'd like to look at that thought about the serpent, about death, how death was defeated, how the serpent was overcome, and how we get discouraged in this way of life. We'll find our text this afternoon in the book of Numbers, chapter number 21. Numbers, chapter number 21. You know, I want to say, number one, I'm thankful because the death and the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, death has been defeated. And the power of death, of Him that has power death, is no more. In Genesis chapter 3, you'll find that Satan, how he came to Eve. We know Eve and Adam there was in the garden. Everything was pristine. Everything was great in their lives. This serpent came to Eve, the one that was more subtle than any other beast of the field, and becomes to Eve and begins to speak to Eve, and that seed of doubt enters into Eve's mind. He puts that doubt, she begins to question, she begins to wonder, she begins to wonder what would really happen if I eat of this forbidden fruit. You know, everything in Eve and everything in Adam's life was perfect and pristine. There was no sin. There was no hurt. They faced no death. There was no pain in their life. It was all perfect. It was all serenity. And Satan comes and places this doubt in Eve's life. How much more are you and I tonight more susceptible to doubt and fear and questioning? You see, in their life, everything was perfect. Everything was great and grand. No sin, no pain, no suffering. But in our lives, we can't say the same. Eve had no sickness. Eve had no hurt in her life. But in our world, that's all you hear about and that's all you see in surrounding society. Eve had nothing to fear, but we see the circumstances of our lives, the pain and the heartache. And the Bible tells us in Job that man's day is few and full of troubles. Eve began to doubt. And this sin, she had no sin that surrounded her, and she began to doubt. But how sin is indented our life. It's surrounded our lives, and that sin has entered into us. And how easy is it for you and I to begin to doubt and to question God and the Word of God? You know, this COVID-19 may have many of us doubting and questioning and wondering how long will it last and when will it end and when will things get back to normal routine and how long. And it's easy to begin to doubt and it's easy to begin to question. Eve began to doubt. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible says, because of this doubt, because of the sin that was committed, we see that the Bible says, and I will put intimacy between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. We see God puts into me this is hatred. It's the word hostility, a war, a conflict between man, between the serpent, because of this temptation, because of man's fall, of man's nature, because of the sinful nature. This hatred, this hostility between man and the serpent, between you and I, the serpent. And we find and we wonder, how will this serpent be defeated? I began to think this afternoon in studying, how did God defeat this serpent? How would this serpent be overcome? We find Eve doubted, Eve questioned, Eve disobeyed, Eve sinned, and now death fell upon every man. How would this death be defeated? And how would this serpent be defeated? I'm speaking about the death being omitted. In the book of Hebrews, Paul's writing to a group of Jewish Christians, Christians like you and I that were facing hardships. They were facing difficulties. They were facing hard times, perilous times in their life. They were being persecuted for their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. And many of them were fixing to go back to Judaism. They were going to leave their belief in Jesus Christ. And Paul's writing to them. He's trying to encourage them. He's trying to exhort them. And he says in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil." Paul is telling him, because of death, because of the burial and the death of Jesus Christ destroyed him that had the power over death. I'm thankful for that. We see that God uses death to destroy death. He uses the burial of his son and the resurrection of his son to destroy death. What Paul was telling those Christians that were doubting, that were questioning, that were wondering, he's saying Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for suffering and death, Jesus, who was crowned with great glory and with great honor, Jesus, this our Savior, would taste death for every man, and that Jesus Christ, through his death, would destroy him that had the power over death. You see, we find that through his death, death was defeated. I'm thankful for that tonight. Death was omitted because of the death of Jesus Christ. Tonight, you and I, the only way that we can have life, the only way that we can have life abundantly and life eternally is when we die to ourselves. Paul wrote again in the book of Galatians to that church. He said, "I am crucified." He said, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." I want to say tonight, death, it was defeated. Death was omitted because of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We find in our text that Adam sinned, Eve sinned, they begin to doubt, death fell upon every man, God put enmity and hatred and hostility, a warfare, a conflict between me and the serpent, between you and the serpent. He defeated death through death, but how would he defeat the serpent? We find that in our text tonight in the book of Numbers. In the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verse number 4. Death had been defeated by the death of our Savior. And now we see there's going to be discouragement on this way. Israel, in our text, was praying to God. They were facing difficulties. They were facing hardships. And in our text in Numbers, chapter 21, verse number 2, the Bible says, "And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord, and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel, and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of that place Horem. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." We find God's children, because of their journey, because of their way, they begin to doubt and they begin to get discouraged. We see here they were facing an enemy like no enemy before. This King Arad, he was a great king. He was winning the battle. God's children were being taken captive. Families were being torn apart. This Canaanite king, he was winning this battle, and God's people began to pray. I want to say that's what we need in this hour, in this time, this day we live in. God's people need to come together and pray. We know that God hears their prayer, and he sees their affliction. He knows their sorrows, and we find they begin to pray. They begin to make promises to God. They begin to vow vows to God, and God answers their prayer. I want to say on life's journey, it's easy
to get discouraged. Notice in verse number 4, the Bible says, "And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way." It's easy to get discouraged in this way. It's easy to doubt like Eve. It's easy to get discouraged in this life. Notice in our text, compared to our life, though I think they had some things to get discouraged about. You know, it's easy to throw stones and accuse God's children. But you got to see, they're in a place of no water. They're in a place of a desert. They've been eating this manna, this food, they call it light bread in our text, for years. They didn't know if they were going to live. They didn't know if they were going to die. And they began to get discouraged. What is it that has us discouraged this evening? I began to think this afternoon. They shut down the restaurants. And we can't go and eat and be waited on. And we get discouraged. We go to a grocery store and can't find ground beef and can't find hand sanitizer and can't find toilet paper. And that discourages us. We begin to think about we can't assemble ourselves at ball games, and they've canceled ball games and so forth. And that discourages us. We find here the children of Israel, they had no water. They had no food that they were eating for years and years and years. They were in a desert thinking they were going to die. They had a reason to be discouraged. What is our reason this afternoon to be discouraged? We find here they were discouraged, the Bible says, because of the way. What is in this way, in your journey that has you discouraged? I looked up that word discouraged this afternoon. Now, has the idea to be short and to be impatient. What he's saying is they were waiting for God. They were wanting something for God. They were needing something from God. And yet they were so impatient. May God help our impatience during this COVID-19 crisis. How are they going to respond? How are they going to react? How are they going to respond to this crisis, this discouragement, this journey that they were facing? Notice verse number 5 in our text. The Bible says, "And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither there is any water, for our soul loatheth this light bread." We notice here, they began to complain. They're discouraged. They're impatient. They're facing trials. And they begin to complain. They begin to murmur. They begin to backbite. They begin to gripe against God and the man of God. In verse number 4, the Bible says they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. You see, they were ready to go into the promised land. They were doubting just like Eve and just like you and I do. And God would not let them enter into the promised land. And the Edomites go through a passage through their country. So God was taking them a long way around. And they began to complain. I wonder, just perhaps, maybe this COVID-19 crisis, it's God's way of taking His children and taking the church a long way around to get them, to get you and I where we need to be. He's taking us around our comforts. He's taking around us around our self-reliance. He's taking us around our own abilities. He's getting the church. He's getting His children. He's getting those that are saved and trust Him to a place that they need to be. And they began to complain. They began to gripe. They began to get impatient. The Bible says they were discouraged. They murmured against God. They murmured against the man of God. Notice in our text in verse number 6, the Bible says, "And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died." They were complaining. God was getting them to where He wanted them to be. He was getting them to the place, this promised land, where they could worship. They had a freedom to worship the true and living God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And they were complaining. And they began to complain against God and the man of God. And God, the Bible says, the Lord sent. You mean to tell me that God would send serpents? He would send fiery serpents to correct, to judge, and to chastise His people? I want to say tonight, God sends the rain and God sends the sunshine. God sends blessings and God sends pestilence. He blesses nations because of His people, and He curses nations even because His people live in it. They have to suffer. God sends these fiery serpents. I began to think, why fiery? Some commentators say that they were red in color. Some say that these serpents, because of their bite, the stinging and the burning sensation of that poison, they call them fiery serpents. But for whatever reason, we find these fiery serpents, they bit many, many complained, and many died. So how was God gonna conquer and defeat these serpents? I think we find it in our text in verse number 8. The Bible says in verse 8, "And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass to every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." God would use a serpent to defeat a serpent. Begin to think about that thought this afternoon. He used death to defeat death. He used a serpent in Numbers chapter 21 to defeat a serpent. I'll remind you in the New Testament, in the book of John chapter number 3, verse 14 and 15, the Bible says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." We know this serpent in the Old Testament, it's a typology of Jesus Christ on the cross. But why a serpent? Why would He use a serpent on a pole to be a typology of our Savior? Why brass? Why bronze serpent? You see, in our Bible, a serpent in Genesis chapter 3, as we already read, and in Revelation chapter number 12, it represents sin, it represents evil, it represents wickedness, it represents ungodliness. And what He's telling Moses is, I want you to mount this serpent, this sin, this wickedness, this ungodliness on a pole. Begin to think about brass. You see, it wasn't any serpent, but it was a brass serpent. The brass in your Bible, that metal, it pictures judgment. See, they tell me to make bronze, to make brass, that metal has to pass through fire. It's judgment. It represents judgment. And what God was saying, as Moses lifted up that serpent, that sin, that wickedness, that ungodliness, that vileness, it's already been judged. You see what Jesus Christ did? He tacked our sin. He tacked our wickedness. He tacked our ungodliness, our iniquities, our transgressions on the cross. And God was judging Him because He that knew no sin took our rugged cross. Our wickedness, our sin, our ungodliness, our transgression was placed on Jesus Christ. It was judged by God there at the cross of Calvary. God uses this serpent to defeat a serpent. And all they had to do is look and live. I was thinking this afternoon of Charles Spurgeon. He was a 15-year-old boy on a January morning, 1850, he woke up to a great snowstorm. Sunday morning, just like years and years before, he would always walk to church. But this was a great snowstorm, a snowstorm like any other. And he was unable to make it to church. So he passes a primitive Methodist church. And there he goes in and sits at the back of the church. A lay preacher was preaching that Sunday because the main preacher could not reach it because of the weather. He stood up and he read Isaiah 45, verse 22. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Charles Spurgeon said that lay preacher said, look, 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 young man, look now and live. We know the story, the history, the testimony, the ministry of Charles Spurgeon. He was saved and born again because he looked to Christ and lived. The Bible tells us that many God's people were doubting. They were bitten. They were complaining. They were murmuring. They were wondering. They were questioning God and the man of God. And God sent these fiery serpents. And he tells Moses to take a pole, uplift a brazen serpent, and if they'll look to that brazen serpent, that their sins have already been judged, their iniquities have already been judged, that they can look and live. We find here that many of them was bitten, and they deserve to die. I want to say this afternoon, every one of us has been bitten by sin. We've been bitten by this ungodly Adamic nature and the sinful nature of man. But because of grace, you and I too can look and live. Death was omitted by death. There was discouragement on this way. But I want to see lastly, this destruction of idols. Turn, if you will, to 2 Kings chapter 18. In the book of 2 Kings chapter number 18. 2 Kings chapter 18. We find Hezekiah is reigning. He's reigning. It's been 800 years since Moses had lifted that brazen serpent in the wilderness. He's reigning. The Bible says that he's doing that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. He's trying to please the Lord. He's trusting the Lord. He's cleaving to the Lord and his word. He's not doubting like Eve. He doesn't doubt like you and I. And notice in verse number 4. Or verse 3 rather, in 2 Kings 18, verse 3, the Bible says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places, and he brake the images, and cut down the groves, and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. 800 years later, Hezekiah is doing that what's right in the sight of the Lord. And he has to go and he takes this brazen serpent made and he has to crush it. He has to break it in pieces because God's children had made idols of it. I began to think about the idols and why they would worship such a thing that used to be so great. Notice it happens in a place that he calls it Nehushtan. That word Nehushtan, this place, it means a piece of brass. You see, judgment came back to God's people because they took something once that was great, something once that God made to be a blessing to them, something that God made that they could look and have eternal life and they can live, and now it's become an idol to their life. You know, we too as God's children must be aware and must be on guard against idolatry coming to our life. We begin to think about just the great things that God's given us. Our daily routines, things that comforts that God's given us and habits that we partake of every day, perhaps they have become idols in our life. I begin to think about the traditions within inside the church. You know, many times those traditions can become idols. Many times our own desires can become idols. Perhaps our daily routines, going through the things that we think so important, has become idols and took the place before God, and He's took them out of our lives over these past few weeks. You see, death was omitted by death. This serpent was defeated by the serpent. They were discouraged on the way. God sent destruction of the idols because it was necessary to the children of God. But notice in Hezekiah's life, verse number 4, it said he removed the high places, he broke the images, he cut down the groves, he broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made, for unto those days the children of Israel to burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. Here it is, verse 5. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him none was like him among the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. Verse 6, for he clave to the Lord. I think what the Lord's telling us this morning is we can rejoice, this afternoon rather, we can rejoice that death was defeated because of the death of our Savior. That the serpent, our sins, were judged at the cross of Calvary. We're going to be discouraged on this way. But let's not murmur. Let's not complain. Let's not gripe against God, the man of God, the church. But let's, as Hezekiah did, trust in the Lord God of Israel, for he clave unto the Lord. That's my message to you this afternoon. Let's trust in God. Let's cleave to the Lord. Let's not get discouraged on this way, on this life that we have. May God bless you. I pray that you have a great week.
Thank you, Brother Gunn. What an opportunity it is to enjoy a